So let's start with one little positive nugget, John.
Yeah.
The Braves have lost 12 of their last 13 games at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, it's not over.
A little nugget of optimism.
It's not over.
It's not over.
They are down. They are not out.
Yes.
Now, part of the problem, though, is that they look really tired. Especially the pitchers.
Well, I mean, do you think tired? I just think they can't hit. I mean, I just think the Dodgers cannot hit. I mean, I pulled some numbers here. You know, last night they benefited from 9 walks and 1 hit batsman, and they were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. So far, if you throw out Game 2 of the Giants series where they really lit things up, they are 3-of-35 with runners in scoring position. 3-of-35. Trey Turner looks awful. Justin Turner, I know he came off the bench last night for 1 at bat, but he's been awful in the series. They cannot hit the baseball right now, and I know we're going to talk about the pitching. I know we're going to dissect everything, the moves last night and the moves on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But in the end, I think the Dodgers just can't hit.
I subscribe to Molly Knight's column. She went out on her own and started a column,
She's doing like a Substack thing.
Yeah, which I would encourage other people to do too. It's really good. Here's what she wrote this morning. I woke up to a text from an American League manager who said the Dodgers look exhausted. I agree, and I'm still exhausted from that Giants series. I can't imagine how the players feel. I think, everybody looks dead. Seager makes that play 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, he does.
You know, Morales was blaming Kenley Jansen. I think Seager should have had that.
That's a ball you've got to be able to play.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to play.
And he's made that play a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but they're not dead. They were down 2-0 and 3-1 to the Braves last year. But the Braves look like a team on a mission, don't they?
And the little wrinkle that's different is last year they had home games to come back to. This time, they're going to have to win the series on the road. For what that's worth, they have to win the series on the road as opposed to last year when they got to win the series at home those last two games.
Well, yesterday when they went up 4-2, didn't you think they had it?
Oh, I thought we were money. I thought we absolutely
had
that. And at that moment is sort of the hinge moment that I know people are going to want to talk about. At that moment, we were facing Rosario, a lefty, Freeman, a lefty, and then a switch in Albies. And Dave Roberts went to Julio Urías. Now, that's a role that Julio Urías has pitched in. He's come out of the pen before. We saw him do it during the postseason. He lined up those lefties. I have no question that the reason he was there was to get out those lefties, and he just didn't. And he had a chance to go to Kenley Jansen when the right-handed Austin Riley came up. The game was 4-3 at that point, 2 runners on and 2 outs. And instead, he stayed with Urías, and the game was tied. So there are a lot of people say, why not just go with Blake Treinen in the 8th inning? Why not just stick with him? He only threw 8 pitches in the 7th. It's a fair argument. Why is it too cute by half? I guess that's the expression. I have no idea what it means. But too cute by half, the way the Dodgers are operating their bullpen during this series.
And he's doing things he hasn't done all year, which leaves him open to criticism. But again, they're not dead. And tomorrow they play a day game. Now, we're going to be on for an hour tomorrow. Are you going to try and go to the game after we're on?
I'm going to do the game from the studio and then rush over to get to Dodger Stadium, hopefully by the 3rd inning. And then, John, I'm going to pull the double. I'm going to go to the Lakers game tomorrow night. So I'm going to go Dodgers and Lakers opener for at least the first half tomorrow night at Staples Center.
Prediction. Jorge,
yes.
You ready?
Yep.
Mason never makes it to the Lakers.
I know, you won't.
I'm going.
First of all, the Dodger game's going to run long. They always do. And then after it does, he's going to go, man, I don't know how Ireland does this.
I can't find my car.
I'm done. I've had it.
When you throw down
home.
A challenge like this, you know I always beat it.
You never
like you
beat
are
it.
Guaranteeing
10K, mythical
that
money.
I will do it.
Oh
tomorrow.
God,
10K.
You beat me to it. You'd love. All right, so Julio just or Jorge just laid down. I'm calling you Julio because I'm thinking about Urías. Jorge just laid down 10 grand mythical money that you never make it to the Laker game. That's a good bet there, Jorge.
I am so there. Because when other time do you get to do a doubleheader like that? Dodgers playoff game into Lakers opening night. I don't remember that ever happening before. And by the way, I'm bummed that it's a 2:08 start
right
at Dodger Stadium, because it makes a tough. I mean, if you're a boss right now, make sure you give your employees, your Dodger employees, the day off so that they can go to the game.
Did you forget we're in a pandemic? No one's going into the office. Everybody's off already. That game's going to be packed. Trust me. Nobody's going to work. When's the last time you set foot in an office? I mean, come on. It just doesn't. I mean, it's. By the way, I'm in the office today. Did you know that?
No. Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
So, how is it? But it's fine. But yeah. No one's here. I mean, Amanda's here, and yeah. Jorge's here, and Funch is here. Emily was here. I saw her. I met Zach. I'd talked to Zach before. I'd never met him.
Yep.
But it's.
Yeah, I'm going to be there tomorrow.
It's eerie. You'll see. I mean, you did one show from here during the pandemic, right?
Yeah, I did. When Spectrum screwed me up, I did a show, I think, from there, and it was fine.
Yeah.
Hey, Jorge, what was going on last night on our group text? No matter what we texted you, you said, I'm behind.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I don't know. Somehow the feed that I had was maybe two pitches behind. I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
I tried fast-forwarding and turned off my modem, whatever it is, and nothing.
Yeah, so you were getting the play-by-play before it actually happened, right?
Yeah, I was two pitches behind.
Just two pitches.
Two pitches.
Well, so a lot to read. Well, we should set the day up because this is a big day for you guys to be listening. It's Million Dollar Monday, right?
That Million Dollar Monday, absolutely.
All right, so explain to people how they can win $1 million.
Okay, so at some point today during the show, I am going to tell a lie.
You already did, that you're going to go to both the Dodgers and the Laker game tomorrow.
I guarantee you I will be at both.
You're going to tell two lies. It's the second lie that'll win you some money.
If you can figure out my lie and be ready with it at 3:30, you will win Rams-Lions tickets for Sunday at SoFi Stadium. Plus, you get a shot at $1 million by picking the two Super Bowl teams and the final score. So, again, be listening at 3. Actually, be listening to everything.
Right.
Between
you can't
now
just tune
and
in at 3:30 or you won't win.
Exactly.
The lie could come any minute, as we just saw. Now, can I know we're going to predominantly do Dodgers here. Can I just say something about the Rams game?
Yeah.
I've never seen a game look more like a practice than that. Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford look like they were running drills.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an NFL team, those Giants. Boy, are they bad.
That's a terrible team.
I never felt for even 10 seconds the Rams were going to lose that game.
Yeah, I mean, they had a bunch of injuries, and Kadarius Toney went out in the very first sequence, so they had wide receivers from the practice squad and all that stuff, but Daniel Jones was on the run all day long. Aaron Donald had a huge day. Stafford, 22 of 28, 251 yards, 4 touchdowns, and Cooper Kupp caught 2 of them. He's now got 7 touchdown catches,
by the way,
this year.
I'm starting to think that most of the playoff spots in the NFC are already filled. Here's what I mean. All right, just tell me. Level of confidence that this team makes the playoffs.
Okay.
All right, Cowboys.
It's 100%.
No, 60%. It's 100%.
You think it's 100%?
That division, they only have to beat the Eagles, the Redskins, and the Giants, and they're 5-1. I mean, and they're going to...
Okay, I'll go 100%.
All right, so 100% on the Cowboys. All right, Tampa Bay.
100%, they're 5-1.
100%. All right, Green Bay.
100%, they're 5-1.
Okay, Rams.
100%, they're 5-1.
Agree. Cardinals.
100%, they're 6-0.
Right. So that doesn't – how many – what does that leave, one spot?
Two spots. There's two wild card spots.
There's 3 wild card spots total?
Yep, 3 total.
Yeah.
So you got – who do you got in the mix? You got
Well,
Minnesota,
the Rams or the Cardinals
Bears.
Are going to be a wild card, one of the two.
Yeah.
And Green Bay – well, no, Green Bay will win their division and Tampa will win their division, right?
Yes.
So I'm thinking Niners maybe –
I don't know if they can get themselves up off the mat. New Orleans, maybe?
Maybe. They've been bad.
Yeah.
It looked for
You're
a while,
right, though. The big
It looked for
teams.
A while like Carolina was going to be good, and I'm not sure they are.
But those are clear-cut teams. Arizona,
right.
Rams.
I think those 5 we mentioned are all in.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's a matter of seeding.
But if I was the Giants, I'd fire that guy today. That Joe Judge?
I don't know. I mean, he had everybody out. He had Saquon Barkley out.
Yeah, that thing's
out.
Going
had,
the wrong
Kenny
direction.
Kenny Galladay out. He had Sterling Shepard barely played. Kadarius Toney was out. I mean, that was a really
And now
really
the Rams get to play the Texans,
situation.
Right?
Yes, the Rams get to play actually the Lions,
and then
who
the Texans?
Are winless, and then the Texans, who've got one win.
Boy, did you hear Dan Campbell throw Jared Goff under the bus?
No.
Oh, this, I don't know if I've ever heard a coach this early in the season do this to a guy.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. This bodes very, very poorly for Jared Goff, simply because he's already flamed out in one place.
Yep.
And tell me this doesn't sound like a guy who's about to flame out in another.
I don't feel like we can accurately judge him one way or another. I don't feel that way yet. Now, I will say this. I feel like he needs to step up more than he has. And I think he needs to help us, you know, just like everybody else. And I think he's gonna need to put a little bit of weight on his shoulders here, and it's time to step up, make some throws, and do some things.
Ooh. Doesn't sound like Jared Goff is long to be the starter in Detroit.
No. And it's the return of Goff Sunday at SoFi Stadium. You say he's going to be booed.
He's
I don't think he's going to be booed.
He'll get booed. People are bent. Everybody's in a bad mood. We're in a pandemic. They're going to boo somebody, and it's going to be Jared Goff.
Yep, I say no boos.
We have money on it. Well, of course there's no. There's never any reason to boo. People boo every game.
He gave it his best. By the way, he didn't get traded on his own accord.
If Trey Turner strikes out, Trey Turner won the batting title. Has been great for us. If he strikes out, he might get booed tomorrow. I mean, people like to boo when things aren't going their way. And Dave Roberts comes out to change pitchers tomorrow, I guarantee you he's getting booed. And Dave Roberts has won the division every year he's been here until this year. And this year he won 106 games.
So let me make an argument. By the way, we'll open the phones on this. 877-7.
We already have people on them.
Oh, yeah. Do we?
Go ahead. I cut you off, though. Give the number.
Yeah, 877-710-ESPN. You can tweet us at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland. I think the critical decision last night, the one I've gotten the most feedback from, was using Julio Urias in that eighth inning situation, knowing that those lefties were coming up. And why didn't they just stick with Blake Treinen? And why didn't they bring in Kenley to face Austin Riley when it was a righty-righty matchup? That little wrinkle. And by the way, the other thing, and this scares me a lot, Max Scherzer talked after the game about the fact that he's got a tired arm.
Why they took him out in the fourth inning or the fifth inning. I mean, I would have stuck with Scherzer longer, but if he's got a tired arm, then it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I thought Julio's stuff didn't snap.
No, Julio's stuff didn't snap at all.
And so now you're in a situation where I'm glad Walker Buehler's pitching, and it sounds like they're probably going back to Julio in game four.
Yes.
And
then bullpen game in game five and Max in game six.
Yeah, because you need them both. And you might need all three. I'm not so sure if they go down to Atlanta, it's a realistic ask to get the Dodgers to win two games down there.
You know what's
interesting? I think they got to win all three here.
Is in going into this series, I would have said that one of the great strengths of the Dodgers is their starting rotation. And
even after the Trevor Bauer mess?
Yeah, no, but I'm saying coming into this, they're going Fried, Anderson, and Morton. I will take Walker Buehler, Max Scherzer, and Julio Urias, all three Cy Young Award candidates, every day of the week. But it's really been minimized because Max only went a four and a third. And who knows what the impact will be. Julio coming back in game four, I think I feel shakier about than I would otherwise.
Well, let's see. The Dodgers are very good at home. And the Braves don't win at Dodger Stadium. So let's see what tomorrow looks like. Now, it'll be tomorrow, and then is Wednesday a night game? Do we know that?
I'm sorry. Jorge said something. Say it on the air,
okay,
Jorge.
So what if Dave goes back to the experiment where they put in Knebel and then Julio for the bulk of the game? Could that be a possibility too? Or not?
Sure. I think anything's possible now.
I think anything's possible at this point.
I think you're down 0-2. You lose again, and for all –
Well, down 0-3, it's over.
Right.
Yeah, down 0-3. If we lose tomorrow, it's the season. Nobody, I mean, only one time is any, right? Only one time has anybody come back from down 0-3, Red Sox. Dave Roberts was on that team, too. Had the big stolen base.
Right.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. What is your reaction to the Dodgers weekend? So many interesting wrinkles in that. Plus, no surprise, Coach O out at LSU.
But it's a weird out. It is, he's out, but he's coaching the rest of this season.
Yeah.
And by the way, to answer my own question, The game on Wednesday is a night game, 5 o'clock start.
Yeah, 5:08 and then 5:08 or something like that.
No, the next three are all 5:08 after tomorrow. So
okay, got
tomorrow
it.
Is – oh, wait a minute. No, game 6 Saturday would be an afternoon game.
Okay.
If we need game 6, and we're hoping we do need it.
Yeah, hoping. Yeah, and by the way, I'm gonna repeat because I think most of our – I mean – us, we work from home, and we've got ultimate flexibility in our schedules. Bosses, give your Dodger fan employees the day off. Tomorrow, we need that place to be rocking at 2:08 in the afternoon, which I'm bummed that it's not at a better time, an easier time to get to. All right, get your phone calls in here next. Don't forget Million Dollar Monday. Be paying attention for a lie at some point during the show. If you figure it out, win Lions-Rams tickets and a shot at $1 million. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, God. You know who this is, John?
This is the most streamed song ever, right?
Yeah. This is the Adele. It's so stuck in my head. Please.
Yeah, somebody said it's Spotify that was the most, the number one streamed song of all time.
It's a great song. It's a great song, but it's so stuck in my head. Easy on me. All right. Well, hopefully the Braves go a little easy on us for this week. Games 2, 3, and 4, 3, 4, and 5 starting tomorrow at Dodger Stadium. A lot of people want to react to what Dave Roberts did, what Dave Roberts didn't do, the use of the pitching staff, Julio Urias was at the right spot for him. Let's hit the phone, Sean.
All right, let's go to Gary in San Bernardino. Hey, Gary, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hi, guys. How are you? You guys are fantastic. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you so much. I want to touch on a couple of quick topics, if you allow me to.
Sure.
The first thing, no one's talking about on the move last night where first base was open and they opted to pitch to Rosario instead of – this is in the ninth inning – instead of pitching to Freeman, who I believe had eight strikeouts in a row.
But he is Freddie Freeman.
He is the reigning MVP.
Yeah, he is Freddie Freeman.
But he's also 0-9. He's also not hitting the ball. And Rosario was 3-4. Why would you pitch to him?
I totally get what you're saying. I personally, on this one count, would have done exactly what Roberts did. I don't think I would have put Rosario on to face the reigning most valuable player, who's certainly due for a hit. But I get your point.
I don't understand it. But anyway, real quick, and then you have Justin Turner with a hurt neck. Okay, that's fine. He pinched hit. They hit him with a pitch. He's on first base. He can't really run, and he didn't run hard. I think a person that we would have had a pinch runner would have scored.
The problem with that, Gary, was they literally ran out of bodies.
Yeah, we had nobody else.
Pinch hit Austin Barnes in the ninth inning, they were actually playing with fire a little bit because had the game gone deep into extra innings, the pitchers would have had to hit. He was out of position players once he used Austin Barnes in the ninth. And Mace, I texted you guys, I would have let Julio hit there. There were two outs, nobody on, and Julio's a pretty good hitter. And you might as well let him hit there. If he gets on base, good for him, but he probably won't. That would have left you with a pinch hitter. Austin Barnes struck out anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's weird. These games are so high leverage that they are ripping through the bullpens and they are ripping through pinch hitters early in the game. And it happened to the Giants last week. They ran out of players, and it happened to the Dodgers last night.
Yeah, they had nobody left. Nobody left. Hey, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate the perspective.
Thanks, Gary. Here's Michael in Downey. Hey, Michael, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Okay, so let's forget being down 0-2.
Okay.
If you get Trey Turner going, he's locomotive. He runs. He gets things going on offense and defense. Let's just think about that instead of, you know, focusing on negativity. Like, dude, if Trey Turner goes off, everyone follows suit. You know, Mookie's going to do it. Apparently now Bellinger's going to do it. But I believe when Trey Turner has his feel, has his vibe, everyone follows suit. That's all I want to say.
All right. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Trey Turner hit a rope, but he just hit it right at a guy.
Yeah, he had that near double that would have broken the game open. That was right after the Dodgers scored. On that home run. So yeah, there were moments last night. I mean, in the end, Trey Turner was 0 for 5 with 3 strikeouts, but he did hit a couple of balls hard. So maybe he is coming around. And again, much more than the pitching, I think the offense is the reason why this team is struggling. I mean, you get handed 8 walks and a hit batsman. So basically 10 free base runners.
You
can't get him in. Yeah. Can't get him in.
That's a good point. Here's Chris in L.A. on line 4. Hey, Chris. You're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. You're right. The hitting was a major part, because if you don't have hitting, then you have to have great pitching, and vice versa. And last night, I think it was the two of them failing us. But this is my thing. I think the front office has basically sold its soul to the devil of analytics, because explain to me why you would have a 20-game winner come in to pitch in the eighth inning in a non-must-win game, and that's supposed to have been his practice day, his bullpen,
his throw day. Yeah.
His throw day.
What logic? I mean, have we gone that far down the analytic track?
Wait a minute, Chris. Let me flip the question on you. Isn't it simply in a playoff game, when everything's on the line, isn't the question who's the best left-hander available, and that's it? You don't need to worry about anything else. And wasn't Urias the answer to that question?
Well, John, this is what I say. Dave Roberts and the Dodgers backed themselves into that corner, one, by blowing through so many pitchers, and two, feeling that they have to have a lefty go against a lefty. When you do that –
yeah, but that's baseball now.
That's true.
I'm
surprised you're so mellow about this, John. Normally you would be really fired up and saying, why would Julio be in that situation, and why are you playing matchups the way they're playing?
The way I would come back at you with that is, who would have been better? I mean, hindsight's 20/20.
Julio, though. Why do you have to have a lefty? It's what I'm saying.
Could have been Blake Treinen. Blake Treinen only threw 8 pitches. You could have brought Treinen back for the eighth.
And Vesia was really good when he was in there. Struck out 2 of their big guys. But I think at that point of the game, you ask yourself, all right, if you want to go lefty-lefty, is there a better option than Julio? And I'm not sure there was one.
And by the way, that was the plan, too. That was the plan that came from Dave Roberts said he would have done it in game 1 had they come to that moment where they were going to face the top of the lineup and those lefties. He wanted the lefty for Rosario, for Freeman. Albies is a little bit better against lefties than he is against right-handers, but that was the stretch. I think the mistake was, after Albies, Austin Riley was the guy that broke our hearts in game 1, was at the plate, a right-hander. At that moment, I would have brought in Kenley Jansen. At that point, Julio had faced his minimum, and you could have gone right-hander versus Austin Riley, and he elected to stay with Julio Urias, despite the fact that the ball was getting hit really hard. He was given hard-hit ball after hard-hit ball.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, for the phone call. Let's get Elliot in here from Torrance. Hey, Elliot, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Good, man.
Listen, I want to submit 2 things, actually. I didn't mention this to Funches, but check this out.
Okay.
The first thing is, you know, when you suggest something in the back of someone's mind, Vin Scully, who we all adore, had a quote before the game with Atlanta. He said, I just hope someone doesn't have a, quote, Billy Buckner moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know, in the back of human beings' minds, is there a possibility, just a
That it was foreshadowing that he cursed Corey Seager? No, I don't think so.
No, not so much that, John. Just the fact that maybe if the players read that and said, "Uh-oh, I hope it's not me that does that," something like that.
These guys are all too good.
Yeah, I mean, and you can look at it and you can say, "Well, Blake Treinen gave up the game-winning hit in the ninth inning of Game One." I don't consider that to be a Buckner moment. I don't consider Julio Urias struggling in the eighth inning last night to be a Buckner moment. I don't even consider the Corey Seager to be a Buckner moment. It's a bad play. It's a play you got to make. But I don't consider it to be on the caliber of somebody being literally the goat of a game.
The Chris Taylor moment, Mason. Here's my second point. Now, listen, how do you guys feel the day or two after you've not just had a couple drinks, but you are wasted? Mm-hmm. You know, this celebration stuff, I don't care what anybody says. I think, especially the trip cross country, the combination of the dehydration and everything.
Yeah.
It's got it.
Elliot,
it's got to take
you are preaching. I have been beating this drum for 20 years. I have the only team I've ever seen not celebrate is the Yankees. When the Yankees with Jeter would win early, they'd win the division, they'd win a playoff series, they'd win the ALCS. They would slow play it. They would, you know, they may open one bottle of champagne and do a toast, or they don't open any. They never went full crazy. But baseball players and baseball, even guys like Mason have been around baseball their whole life. You can't talk them out of this. You guys are all married to partying like crazy with every division win, playoff series win, one game win. ALCS win. It's all party
all
the time.
That's baseball. That's how we do it. I mean, I've been around the game forever. That's how we do it. It's not, you know, it's not the NBA. I know you always say the Lakers don't touch the silver trophy.
Yeah, they do no celebrating unless they win the whole thing.
Right. And the fact is that in baseball, and you cite the Yankees, and I don't remember the specifics, but they did win 4 out of 5, so it did get a little boring.
After a while, they're like, "This isn't why we're here. Let's celebrate if we win the whole
thing." But generally speaking, for the last 75 years, this is what has gone down. And I don't believe they were so drunk that they were dehydrated on their flight back to Atlanta.
No,
I'm not buying that part of it.
And as a matter of fact, I think they flew to Atlanta either that night or the next day anyway.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, they turned it around pretty quick.
Somebody says, David Binder says, how about bringing up how bad the defense is? Bad throws from Pollock and Souza, bad plays by Seager and Smith. This is not all
sloppy.
On the pitching.
It was sloppy. I will give him that.
All those throws were close, though. All those throws were so damn close.
And by the way, give Ron Washington, the third base coach of the Braves, a lot of credit. A lot of people would have held those guys up, and he just said, screw it, we're going for it.
Ron Washington's so funny. He's such a funny character. I actually worked with Ron Washington with the Toledo Mudhens. He was a player coach. Back in the days, they used to have player coaches. And the funny thing about Ron Washington is he's got a really funny cadence, and he doesn't really open his mouth when he talks. So there are times where I would say, I'm not sure what Ron Washington says. I don't know what he said. All right, coming up, we'll get some more of your calls in here, 877-710-ESPN. We will also check in on the and you know what? It's fair level. What is your confidence level now with the Dodgers down 0-2 and coming home? What is your confidence level? And did the Dodgers, as I saw all over Twitter, overmanage this weekend series? Did they overmanage in games 1 and 2? I got that from a lot of people. 877-710-ESPN. Plus, tomorrow night, big night. John, go ahead and sing it.
Opening night. It's opening night. Just for the Lakers. It could be closing night for the Dodgers. So it's kind of a conflicting emotion. The Dodgers have to win. If the Dodgers lose, I mean, geez.
And I will be at both games, John. I'm pulling the doubleheader.
Yeah, you'll never make it to the Laker game.
Absolutely will be.
Zero chance.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so we're down 0-2. No reason to fear, people. We were down 0-2 last year.
Down 3-1 last year.
3-1 last year. Won three in a row. Exactly. And I want to point out again, the most uplifting note of the day is that the Braves have lost 12 of their last 13 games at Dodger Stadium. And I think the Dodgers are a team that won, is it possible they won 58 games at home? I think it's 58 games at home.
Oh, yeah. And they've been great at home all year. I mean, it's not over. I know to some Dodger fans it probably feels like that when they're down 0-2 and they lose two games they could have won. But, they win the next two and it's back to a coin flip.
Part of it is the way you lose. Like, right, I had a feeling right going to the bottom of the ninth that they were going to walk it off again. I just had a terrible feeling. And I do think there's momentum that comes from winning that way. Two walk-offs. There's a momentum that comes from winning that way that scares me in this series.
All right, let's go to Ken in Newport Beach. Hey, Ken, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi, guys.
What's up, Ken?
Yeah, not real happy. Not real happy, you can imagine. The Dodgers were 2-for-18 in the first two games with four runners on base. That's one thing. But there's a myriad of questionable moves that Dave Roberts made. Let's just take the first game. Why did he bring his closer, Kenley, in the eighth inning? He hasn't done that all year. Made no sense.
Okay, just want to point out that Brian Snitker brought in his closer, Will Smith, in the eighth inning also.
That's apples and oranges, man.
Why isn't it apples and apples?
That's apples to apples.
Okay. All right, it's an apple tree. Now let's go to game two. All right, so you're going to pinch hit Beatty, knowing that their pitcher is already thrown to three guys, knowing 100% you're going to come in with a lefty. You blew out Beatty. He's gone. Now you've got Pujols. Hasn't got the ball out of the midfield the last 12 times, struck out three of the last five. After it was all over, Dave ran out of players. It's 13 times this year. He's run out of players. Nobody in the major leagues has done that. It's almost like Dave should be called Doc. He should be called schizophrenia.
Ken, Gabe Kapler did it in the last series. I mean, it happens. If you're making a lot of moves, you could eventually. That's why they put a limit on the rosters. I know Dodger fans, and I know you're a longtime Dodger fan, like to rip Dave Roberts. The fact is, Dave Roberts' winning percentage is higher than any manager in baseball. He's won the division 7 out of 8 years. He's been to the World Series 3 times in the last 5 years and won it last year. And he might go back this year. So Dave Roberts, I mean, he's going to make some mistakes. And you're free to, I mean, that's why we have these talk shows, is we can second guess and talk about the mistakes he made. But to suggest that Dave Roberts is incompetent is an incredibly unfair opinion. He's not. They win all the time. It just didn't work out last night. And Mace, I think one of the reasons it didn't work out is because these pitchers had dead arms. I think Max Scherzer had a dead arm. I think Julio Urias had a dead arm. And I'm glad Walker Buehler's available tomorrow, because if he wasn't, we'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, a week's rest. He's basically gotten a week's rest. Yeah, Ken of Newport Beach does not like Dave Roberts.
Well, and that's okay. I mean, that's your right as a Dodger fan.
Yeah, no, it's a fair opinion. Yeah, you don't like it. I mean, I would argue that all those moves, John, everything we saw, and it is like a Rubik's Cube, right? I mean, it really is a puzzle. And I want to say something nice about the announcers. I think Brian Anderson and Ron Darling do a great job of laying out why those moves are happening. And I was not necessarily a fan of those guys going into the series, but I think they've actually been really good. Now, Jeff Francoeur, I think, is a Braves fan.
Well, and he doesn't say anything. He says he hardly ever talks. So it's mostly Brian and Ron doing all the talking.
And Darling's really good.
Let's squeeze Bobby from Anaheim in here on line 8. Hey, Bobby, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, Bobby.
Man.
Hey, I just want to call. You know, I think Ken was really off base. I mean, Dave Roberts has made every right move in the postseason, really up until now. Even with a 4-2 lead, you know how many players or how many batters we left stranded on base? And all the conversation is about you know, how we couldn't hold, you know, the Braves to this run or that run. I mean, we had the right pitcher in there, Urias. We had everything going right. The bottom line is our bats didn't deliver with our men on base. I mean, that's ultimately it. Let's kind of focus on that instead of the bad moves, which I think strategically everything was done right. We just left 11 guys on base, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Bobby.
And Dodgers not hitting. Last night they had 10 walks and a hit batsman, and they only had 4 hits. They were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. So far in the series, 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position. Somebody's got to get clutchy. Somebody's got to be able to do something. In fact, here's the scariest one of all. So if you throw out game 2 of the Giants series, where the Dodgers, I think, were 5 of 13 with runners in scoring position, throw out game 2 of that series, the Dodgers, including the game with the Cardinals, have been 3-for-35 with runners in scoring position. 3-for-35. You cannot win that way.
Right. I don't, that has to get better. But also, Mace, they had that game yesterday. They had the lead 4-2 in the eighth.
I thought we had it locked up.
And the bullpen's been pretty reliable during this whole run, and they weren't last night.
And I understand the Urias move. I know that a lot of people are questioning that. I understand it. They had him stacked up to go against those lefties. It made sense to me. It didn't work, but it did make sense to me. My one disputed decision is that I thought they should have gone to Kenley to face Austin Riley, the right-hander, who has just killed us. Austin Riley has just killed us in this series. Bring in Kenley to get that out. And the ball in the ninth was hard hit. There's no question about it. Rosario hit it on the screws. But that's a play that Corey Seager has got to make.
And has been making
over
the course of his career. He just didn't make it last night. They're not dead yet. That's the one thing. They're down. They're not out.
Yes. All right. More of your calls coming up. 877-710-ESPN. Also, you want to give the Wheel of Questions a spin here?
Oh, why not?
Yeah, we'll do that, too, coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right. So we're down 0-2. We're down 0-2.
This is nothing. Come on.
You're going to wag the dog on this?
I am. Now, if they lose tomorrow, I'll panic.
But, it's over. If they lose tomorrow, it's over.
Yeah, but not panicking.
You agree with that, right?
I do.
You go down 3-0, you're over.
I do.
Just doesn't happen. So let's spin the wheel of questions. There are actually some Dodger questions on the wheel. So let's go ahead and give it a spin there, Funch.
Did you take wheel spinning privileges away from Jorge?
I know. I feel.
Sorry about that.
That was kind of weird.
All right.
By the way, Wheel of Questions presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right. It is a Dodgers question. For the Dodgers, how much of the decision making is Dave Roberts and how much is Andrew Friedman?
I would explain it this way. I think they do a roadmap before the game that is prepared by Andrew Friedman that Dave Roberts is told to follow. But once the game starts, there is leeway within that roadmap to do things that might pop up. But I actually think, Mace, that the pitching and the order in which the pitchers appear is more Friedman than Roberts. How about you?
I agree on the roadmap thing. So I agree at some point there was a conversation that said, hey, if you get a chance to face 3 lefties in a row, let's go to Julio. I think that decision was made. When it popped up is when it popped up. I thought this was interesting. Actually, Jorge, what do you think?
How about the pitching coach? Does he have a say in this?
Nah, it's Mark Pryor. I mean, I think he handles like some of the technical details, but I don't think he's making decisions as to who
so
comes
he's not in
and
that
when.
Roadmap that you paint. Okay.
Yeah. He's part of the, he talks to these guys and he sets defensive alignments and but he's not deciding how long a guy goes.
Here's Andy McCullough wrote a really good piece for The Athletic. He said he was talking about the use of the opener in Game 5 against the Giants. He said the brain trust of the Dodgers gathered inside manager Dave Roberts' office and kicked around ideas in the hours following Game 4 of the NLDS. That's when Alex Slater, the director of baseball operations, piped up. How about an opener? Inside the room, ears perked up. Interesting, Roberts thought. The group decided to sleep on it. Over the subsequent 24 hours, they hammered out a plan that bucked baseball tradition, invited a winner's worth of potential second guessing, and ultimately cleared the runway for a 2-1 victory. It does sound like that story from Andy McCullough makes it sound like it's more collaborative than Andrew Friedman handing Dave Roberts a book and saying, follow this. This idea popped up by a director of baseball operations, Alex Slater. He was in Dave Roberts' office. I think it's much more collaborative, I think, than you think it is, Dave, John.
Because I've talked to enough people that tells me that Andrew Friedman is being paid all that money not to sit there and let someone else make the decisions. He's making the decisions.
Despite Andy McCullough's story and description.
Yeah. I not to
say
doubt
Andy's
Andy.
Wrong?
No, not to doubt Andy's reporting, but I've talked to enough people at the Dodgers that tell me Andrew Friedman is setting the vision and giving a roadmap, and Dave is told to follow it. Now that
and you don't think Dave is involved in creating the roadmap.
I think they do it together, but I think that somebody's got to have the final say, and the final say is Andrew Friedman. By the way, most of these guys that are still in the playoffs are all people that once worked with Friedman in Tampa.
Oh yeah,
you know they're all like the guy in Houston, the guy in Atlanta,
in Atlanta worked for us, Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah, I mean they've all worked for Friedman. So
and
I
they're
mean,
all running the same book. It's not like somebody's super hunchy. I mean, every organization is running.
Right, but I'm surprised. We have a bunch of calls. Let's take a couple of them now of people that for whatever reason, want to put all this on Roberts. Here's Jeff in Laguna Beach on line 7. Jeff.
Hey, guys. Good morning, or afternoon, actually.
Yeah.
Long-time listener for you guys. And quick question. I mean, I'm going to preface this question. Just because I am on the Braves side. My brother's stepson is a pitcher for the Braves.
Okay.
He's done really well the last few games against the Dodgers.
Well, tell us
but
who it
every
is.
Time I listen,
can you tell us who it is?
I hate name dropping, but he pitched really well against Pujols last night, struck him out, and then came back the next inning against Mookie, had a really good he's a local guy, too, Tyler Matzik.
Okay. Yeah, Tyler Matzik is really good.
Yeah, he's having a good postseason.
Great postseason.
Yeah.
So my question is, because I listen to you guys all the time, because every time there's a Lakers loss, every time there's a Dodgers loss, it always seems like we're always out to blame somebody.
You know what,
saying,
Jeff?
Hey.
This is fair. We do because we're in L.A. We always think that it's something. Mates, this is a very good call from Jeff.
Yep.
It's something that our guys did. Last night, the Braves made a lot of good plays. And by the way, the two base runners who came around third, if they don't slide perfectly, they're both out.
Yes.
I mean, those throws were both really good. So, Jeff, that's actually a great call. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a great call. And by the way, Alex Anthopoulos, this has been talked about on the broadcast, but after Ronald Acuna Jr. got hurt, they could have packed their bags and said, hey, maybe next year. Instead, they went out and got Jorge Soler, who's not been a factor in the series because of COVID. But on top of that, Adam Duvall, Jock Peterson, and Eddie Rosario.
I thought you were going to do a quote from Pitch Perfect. Remember the movie Pitch Perfect?
Yes.
Where the girl goes, like my father taught me, when the going gets tough, pack your bags.
Pack your bags.
Here's Jimmy in Corona on line 8. Hey, Jimmy, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Let me get you off speaker here real quick.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
All right, real quick. Huge fan of you guys, but again, been a Dodger fan forever. It seems like every year, we say that runs are a premium. So why don't we stop hitting these home runs, like shooting threes in the playoffs and shoot that two point shot mid range, go for them singles.
Right. Well, this is something that came up in the other day in the Giants series, that when they were all trying to hit, who was it? It was Webb, right? Mace, that they couldn't hit because he was throwing all that junk. And they said, you used a golf analogy. They said, stop using your driver and hit your 7-iron. So it's Jimmy,
and
they talk about stuff like this. But you're right. A lot of guys keep flying out to the warning track in these games.
The game plan going into game 5 of the NLDS was let's kill him with singles. So there are guys, and if you look at Cody Bellinger, look at the way he's changed his swing. Cody Bellinger now chokes up on the ball, and he's not swinging for the fences every single time. So I think what you're describing is right. What I question about last night is why they were attacking so early in counts and not working deeper and making pitchers work. They were first pitch swinging an awful lot, and I'm sure that was part of a game plan. I just don't think it was the right – I mean, in retrospect, I don't think it was the right game plan. I mean, I think Max Muncy, who's out right now, sets the tone for that lineup, right? He works everybody for a walk. He's got 10 pitch at-bats on a regular basis. I think he sets the tone. Last night, the Dodgers didn't do that. Mookie had one 10-pitch at-bat, I think, in that game last night. Otherwise, I mean, Corey Seager, it is the most predictable thing in the world that he's going to swing at the first pitch. It's like, lay back a little bit, Corey.
Well, wait a minute. This is what I've always been told good hitters do. The best pitch you might see, because pitchers hate getting behind in the count, might be the first one. So you guess what he's going to throw. All right, these guys all study the hand. And if you get that pitch, you swing. Anything else, you'll hold back. But if he's thinking high fastballs coming on the first pitch, that may be his best day. I mean, he hit a home run in his first at-bat last night.
Yeah, I think he got that little slider and took it.
Yeah, that was the first pitch.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's the first pitch, you know, the first pitch you see. Thanks, Jimmy, for the phone call.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Let's see. Yeah, we got time. Let's get Scott in Redondo Beach on line 10. Hey, Scott, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Hi, Scott.
My question is, has anyone asked why they didn't consider starting Buehler last night? And the reason I ask that is he was already on full rest last night, and Scherzer was not. And yes, it was only one inning. It was important for game five. That was great. But they already knew he was tired. He told them that. So considering they knew he was tired and Buehler could be on full rest, and then that would set up Scherzer for full rest for game three, Urias full rest for game four. But instead, the way they did it, they're not going to get that. They're only going to get one pitcher on full rest, whereas you could have had three pitchers on full rest. And
right.
If Buehler had gone last night for six, seven innings, then you don't use Urias last night. They probably win. And
Scott, it's a fair
that's
point.
That's a fantastic point.
Wait a minute. It's a fair point in hindsight's 20/20, but isn't the simple answer to your question because it allows you to pitch Scherzer more? You want to use your best pitchers as much as you can. If you pitch Scherzer in game two, then you can bring him back if you need him in six or seven. If you know, that's the reason you prioritize those guys in the order of which you prefer. I mean,
although at some point, John, yesterday, I mean, I assume he would have told Dave Roberts beforehand, Max Scherzer, and he said it afterwards to the media, that he was suffering from a dead arm. Walker Buehler could have been out there on full rest, and Max could have gotten another day. I actually think that's a really, really good point and a smart point.
Thank you, Scott, for the phone call. It just seems to me that when you'd make a lot of, you know, you take a lot of chances, like the Dodgers have been doing. They've been, you know, trying Knebel as an opener. They're bringing in Urias out of the bullpen. They're trying a lot of crazy stuff that you're going to get second-guessed and creamed if it doesn't work. But they did all this stuff in the deciding game against the Giants, and it all worked. So, you know, they left Bellinger in the lineup, and Bellinger, who was hitting, what was it, 158, was the guy who delivered the big hit. So you're going to get criticized if you do this stuff. I like the Dodgers tomorrow. I think they're going to win. And then that makes game four just absolutely critical. That's when Urias has to show up and deliver.
Yep.
And hopefully you will.
That'll be Julio's game. Julio's game. Don't forget tomorrow, 2:08 is the start.
And
so,
Mason and I are going to be on for an hour and walk you up to that game. We'll have that game for you on ESPN LA. So 1 hour of Mason and Ireland tomorrow and then roll right into the Dodger game.
And then roll right into the Lakers game.
Yeah, what a day.
Huge day. And, John, I'm pulling the doubleheader. I'm telling you, I'm going to be at both games.
No one who knows you believes you'll actually make it to Staples Center.
100%. Just the fact that you have challenged me has made it certain that I'm going to do it.
Okay. Julio, your money is safe. I do that again. I keep calling you Julio.
It's all good. It's all good.
That's because I'm thinking about Urias in that dead game last night. Because were you wearing your Urias jersey?
I was.
All right. Mason, did you have your bobblehead in position last night?
I obviously had it in the wrong position.
Wait a minute.
In front of the TV, I had my bobblehead, and that was the wrong spot because Julio got hit hard. So I have to try my Julio bobblehead somewhere else. Juan also pointed out that I'm washing my sweatshirts too much. I'm supposed to let the...
You normally have the opposite problem.
That I'm supposed to let the luck sort of build in each sweatshirt before I actually wash them. So I'm going to try that too. I'm going to try to go without washing sweatshirts.
Well, jeans and sweatshirts aren't meant to be washed after every use. You know
that's
that,
true,
right?
Absolutely true. Yeah.
Two or three uses.
Yeah, at
so
least.
I'm going to wash them less. Wash them less. All right, coming up next for Coach O. Everybody wanted Coach O to be the head coach at USC. He is out at LSU.
So he might be the head coach at USC again.
Yeah,
everything's on the line.
Everything on the line.
We will touch on that coming up next for you. Dodgers down 0-2. Lakers kick off tomorrow night versus Golden State. The line, by the way, went from Lakers minus 6 to Lakers minus 3.5. I'm not sure why. But Lakers minus 3.5 is now the line for tomorrow night in the season opener when we get to see the big three officially. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.